upon their name under heaven, given among men, are bowing, must be saved in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we thank the Lord for that special. We'll go ahead and open our Bibles to Luke chapter 16. We'll title this tonight, Who is Stronger? Luke chapter 16, verse 9 through 13. Kind of a strange reading, seems like, maybe, but it ends up with what we want to speak about. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, you may they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that and also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. He's telling us about being faithful here in the least, so we can be faithful in greater things that he would like to give us. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this portion of the Word, we're asking, Lord, that you just take these words and anoint them. And we know that you dwell in them, and we accept them, and we're here to gather here just to give praise to you and to let your Word be that which is spoken tonight and guiding us. We ask, God, that you touch every heart, every person, each one that's missing. We ask that you would go to them also, Lord, and touch them with your presence. We ask, God, that you just have your way in the service tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. We enjoyed the rain we've been getting. It's been a blessing. Means you just have to mow the grass again, but that's okay. I'd rather have green grass to mow than dry grass to crunch under my feet. Who is strongest? So, you know, I was sitting down last night after supper and, you know, I was just thinking about tonight's service, you know, and just maybe, you know, looking for the Lord to guide me in the direction he would want me to share with you tonight. And, you know, as I was sitting there thinking that, and I just opened my Bible without looking at it, I just opened it. As that happened, the scripture came to mind. And then I looked down. And my eyes fell on exactly the scripture that had come to my mind there when I was opening my Bible. It all happened all at once. And, you know, Brother Brown told us, he said, now don't you do this. Don't you say, Lord, now just let this Bible open and be something that you want to speak to me. He said, don't you do that. And I didn't do that on purpose, but I'm just telling you that my eyes fell on this scripture that I'm about to read. And so I just want to talk about this tonight. And that scripture is 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. So she'll have it there on the screen. Very familiar scripture. If you listen to the prophet, you'll hear him say it so many times. And he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abideth forever. And so when my eyes fell on it, I just wanted to start meditating upon that and just share with you some of the things that I've noticed out of this scripture as I was looking at it. And perhaps you may know it. Maybe you not hear anything tonight that you don't already know. But this scripture is telling us, said, and I'll say it the way Brother Branham said it. He said, if you love the world or the things of the world that are in the world, it is because the love of the Father is not in you. And so I really think that we should look at this pretty sincerely and pretty deep and think about this. So if we love the world, not just the world, but the things that are in the world, then it is because the love of the Father is not in us. So it helps us to see here real quickly when you look at this, that if you have the love of the Father in you, then those things can't be there. And if those things are in there, then the love of God cannot be there. They both cannot be there at the same time. And so, you know, Brother Branham's entire ministry, when he came, his whole purpose, he's standing there and he's speaking for the most part, wasn't just to sinners, but he was speaking to the most part to a religious group of people. Because the messenger of each age was sent to bring the message to the church of that day, unto the church of this, unto the church of that. So Brother Branham's job was to come here and speak to the church, and he's standing there before the church world, and he's speaking to a people who believe they hold the position in Christianity that's got them ready for heaven. And he knows there's something wrong, and he's trying to explain to them that they're standing there believing that they're ready when they're not. And the thing that he always pointed back to was because they could do things and allow things and believe things that was contrary to the Word, and the true Holy Spirit can't do that. The Holy Ghost cannot endorse something contrary to the Bible, to the Scriptures. He can't do it. I'll say it this way. The Holy Spirit does not feed on lies. He doesn't feed on anything except truth. God is eternal. Right? So why would he feed on something temporal? God is eternal, and he's going to feed on something that abideth forever. And the Scripture said that the heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. So God, even you know, he could probably live for all eternity and never eat anything, but you know that he made us in his image. And so he feeds on his own word. He believes his own word. And he's not going to feast on something else. He's not going to eat on anything else. And so, you can see that the two of those cannot be there in you at the same time. We cannot have the love of the world and the love of God in there at the same time. And so, how I want to say this is that one will drive out the other. One of them, and we realize God is, you know, he's top, you know. But if one's in there, the other one can't be there. Jesus tells us a parable about the strong man going in and so forth. And so, they can't both abide there together. Now he says, if you love the world or the things of the world, and we kind of just want to talk about that just in a moment, but I'll read a couple of scriptures for you that I included to go with this. And you can't have both. You know, James talks about you can't have fresh water and bad water. You know, you can't have both coming out of the same spring, right? Shouldn't be that coming out of a mouth could be both blessings and cursings. That's the lesson he's teaching us. And we know that the Holy Spirit's always positive, right? Positive when it comes to the children of God. If you make him angry, that's a different story toward those that he brings wrath upon. But God is always positive, and he wants us to be positive. And we catch ourselves so much of the time being negative. We live in a world that's so negative. But God wants us to be positive. And I say quite often, Lord, help me be positive. Help me be positive and not be negative. Because I can easily become negative about what I see out there in the world. I do it all the time. But I think God wants us to be positive. And he wants what comes out of our mouth, he wants in our life to be singular. And not first one thing and then another. Sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that. Contrary to one another. So this is kind of the thing we're talking about here. But he tells us, you know, as being, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God can't be in you. And so we know we shouldn't love the world. We realize that. We know we shouldn't love the things of the world. We shouldn't be caught up in the things of the world. If we're true believers and we truly have the love of God in us, the love of God will drive those things out. And so we cannot be Christians and embrace the world. You can't do it. And so James tells us in James 4:4, he says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Yeah, we can believe that. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy. is the enemy of God. And then we read there in Galatians when Paul is speaking and Paul is preaching the gospel to the Galatians, and he's having to come back and deal with the situations there. And he says to them, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" So you realize that when you begin to hang to truth and you begin to hang to that which is right, then the world is going to be your enemy. And you're going to be an enemy to them. And so Paul is saying, look, what are you doing here? I mean, and he actually, prior to this, he said, look, you would have given me your own eyes and plucked them out if you could have for me. But now what's happened? Am I become your enemy just because I'm telling you the truth that you got something going on that's wrong there because you're trying to hang back to the law rather than living by grace? And so you realize that as you stand for truth, you know, there is no way that we as Christians, if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to have persecution. People are not going to be comfortable around us. As I said to someone recently, I said, don't want to make you nervous, but, you know, there's something called conviction. And when you're around a believer and you're not a Christian, you can get conviction. And if you don't realize what that is, you might say, well, this person makes me nervous or something like that. Well, we don't mean to make people nervous. We don't mean to be an enemy. But you realize that if they are from a different kingdom and a different world and they're headed to a different thing and they have something different on their mind than Christianity, then we become an enemy to them. And so he tells us you can't love the world and things of the world if the love of the Father is in you. It's because it's gone in there. The scripture tells us, you know, we can have all mysteries and we can know all things and have all faith and all that, but the scripture said that without charity, which is love, and God is love, and this is speaking of the love of God, then it's not worth anything. It's worthless. It's nothing. If that's all we have. So our experiences have to go beyond having all faith to move mountains, but go beyond even giving to the poor and giving our bodies in sacrifice to be sacrificed. If we've got to have all those things driven by love. Brother Ben said, if all these gifts that we have, and we thank God for them, but if they're not operated by love, then, you know, where are we at? And so we have to have this love of God in us. And, of course, if we have it, it will drive those things out, drive the love of the world out, drive the love of the world and the things of the world. So the scripture says, we read it, that the world, it says that the all the things that are in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And we know that's the three things that it said when Eve looked and saw that fruit, that it was good for food and wanted to make one wise and so forth. That was the three things that she was being pulled with right there. Lust of flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. And we all have to deal with that all the time. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. You take a big shot doctor who wants to push a certain thing, and when something else comes out to show that he was wrong, he don't want to bow to that because he don't want to humble. He's got pride of life. Don't tell me I know. Instead of saying, oops, I made a mistake. And you see that everywhere you go. I use that as an example because it's kind of, you know, in the forefront of people's minds. But, you know, that's how the human nature is. And so the scripture says here that everything that's in the world is either of the flesh, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. And he goes on to say, it's of the world, and the world passeth away. Right? The desire, the world passes away. The things that are in the world passes away. And the lust of that passes away. So why would we want to hook to and hang to something that passes away? Why would God want to, you know, like I said, why would he want to believe a lie? Why would we want to hang to something that's not going to last forever? He lives off of that which is right and that which is eternal. And that's what he wants our appetite to be. And what he's telling us here is that if the love of God is in your heart, that's what your appetite's going to be. Your appetite is going to be for that which lasts forever. Because he goes on to say, but he that doth the will of God abideth forever. And so, you see the contrast there. So he's tying there that the will of God, he who does the will of God will last forever or will abide forever. He's tying there to that is having that the will of God in your life is not loving this world and the things of this world. Having the love of God in your life will take you down the pathway where you are doing the will of God. Right? So he tells you that if you do the will of God and it's driven by the love of God in our hearts, then that's not going to pass away. It will abide forever. So Brother Branham tells us in leadership. You know, that's one of the last sermons he preached, leadership. And he said to us, and he said, may I repeat this again, in the kosher, the offering, the atonement in the days of Moses, when Moses brought the children out, there was to be 7 days that there was to be no leaven among the people. And anyone knows that in Exodus, no leaven shall be found in your camp at all 7 days. And 7 days represent the full 7 church ages. No leaven. Now, what is that, he says? What is that? No creed, no world. Amen? No creed, no world. Jesus said, if you love the world or the things that are in the world, the love of God is not even in you. And see, and we're trying to mix that. He's saying that this is what the church world is trying to do. You're trying to mix religion and the world and all those things. He said, we're trying to mix that, and you can't do it. You've got to come to one thing to believe. You're either going to believe God, you're going to believe your church, you're going to believe the world. And you can't mix it together. And you can't hold them old things that the other church did before you did. You've got to take the message of the hour. So he's telling us in there, you can't hold to those things. You can't mix this all. It's all separate. You can't have the world in your heart and God in your heart at the same time. You just can't do that. And so they just don't mix. Oil and water doesn't mix, right? We know that. And the Holy Spirit doesn't mix with man. And that's what, in the Bible, water represents multitudes of people. Water is what's tossed about by every wind of doctrine, right? The waves foaming out their shame, as it says in Jude, right? Talking about a people who's before ordained to condemnation. See, we're not to be wishy-washy, but we're to be steady and sturdy. And so that's representing the waters, and Holy Spirit oil doesn't mix with water. And by the way, if you pour oil on the water, it's on top. It floats on top. Amen. So, nice little typologies there. So, Brother Bam says, we've got to take the message of the hour. We can't hang to old traditional teachings of the church. We can't hang to the world. We can't hang to those things. We've got to receive the message of the hour. We've got to become what that message is to us. What it is, that's what we must become, and what it's here and brought for us. He's delivered it to us. I've said many times, God will not call for something that he doesn't provide for you first. And he knows exactly what to call for and what stage we're in. He wouldn't call for rapturing faith in the days of Paul, but he's calling for that today. But he's not going to call from us something that he doesn't provide. He provides these things for us. And so we know he's here to provide everything that we have need of. Because remember, as we've been saying, the husband has to provide for the wife, the clothing, the food and everything. And so he's not telling us that you've got to come up with this faith yourself, this rapturing faith. He's not telling you have to have it yourself. He's saying you got to receive it from me. He's going to provide a bride that's not, you know, that's fully clothed and not wrinkled and all that. So he's not saying, come on, and not giving that to us. So I don't believe God would be calling us to rapturing faith or calling us to live separated from the world if he wasn't here to provide that and make that possible to us. I don't think he's doing that, calling us to be separate from the world and have rapturing faith, unless he's providing it and unless it's necessary. I believe it's necessary at this time. God doesn't fool around. He doesn't just do things that just, you know, don't know why he did it. There's no reason. No, there's a reason for everything he does. And so, you know, when he sent the message to us today, gave it to us right at the time when it could be recorded. First sermon, go look it up. First sermon Brother Branham preached in 1987. 1947 that we have on tape, first thing that comes out of his mouth said, "We got some new gadgets for recording." Because it was God let them find that recording system and discover that right in time where it could record this message so that this message could go right into your home. And it went from that to wire recorders, from wire recorders to the reel-to-reel, and from reel-to-reel probably to 8-tracks, though I haven't seen them, but I bet they were there. Then from 8-tracks, it would go to cassette, right? From cassette to CD, from CD to MP3, CD, MP3 iPods and all that. And now we can all have it all day long, everywhere we go, free of charge. He did that for a reason. I was listening to Brother Brown telling a story the other day. He was talking about a minister. I don't remember the name of the man. He wasn't, what we call in the message necessary, but he was a believer. And he was a minister, and he had operation done on his tonsils, and they couldn't stop him from bleeding. He was bleeding to death. And he had all kinds of, there was missionaries and all kinds of other ministers there at the hospital, in his room, and all around, and praying for him, and the guy just, he was just bleeding to death. And so they called for Brother Branham. So Brother Branham goes to the hospital, he goes up there, and he gets up there by the room, and he sees it's packed with all these big preachers, big name preachers, and all these things like that. And he's like, I'm nobody. So he goes over. I believe he said he walks over behind him. I don't know, maybe it might have been a Coke machine. I don't remember what it was. But he just kind of walks over to the side and prays, and he leaves. He gets home, and I don't know, he's home for just a little while, and the phone's ringing. They said, "Hey, why haven't you come up there?" He said, "Well, I came." He said, "Look, this guy's bleeding to death. And he said, "Well, I came, and I just, and they said, get up here right away." And so he comes up there and walks in the room, and here's all these big preachers. They've been praying, crying out to God. They're weeping. They're all unhappy, because their friend is dying. And he walks in the room, and the man that's sick there, he said, Brother Bram said, when I got there, he was trying to lead a Catholic nurse to the Lord. Right? On his deathbed, but he had some character. But he walked in, and he said, who are you? And he said, I'm Brother Branham. And the man grabbed him around the head, he was sitting up in the bed, but he was coughing up, blood every little bit. And, Brother Branham knelt down and prayed, and the blood stopped instantly. Now, I said all that to say this. There's all kinds of preachers. There's all kinds of people out there preaching messages. But look what was displayed in that room. God could have answered any one of that man's prayers, but he didn't. Because he wanted this generation to know that he had a man that he was with. Because that man was going to have something to say that came from Almighty God. And so this happened all the time. That's why Brother Brim had the kind of ministry he did. Wasn't so much to get us to go after the fishes and loaves necessarily, or go after the miracles and all that, but that we might know that this man does things that nobody can do unless God was with him. And surely God would not bless a lie. Right? Not with that kind of ministry at all. And so that's there for a reason. I said, because we've been given, God has given to us. You're never going to get anything greater than right now. Right? I'm not talking about me standing here. I'm talking about this message. There's nothing going to come to any of us any greater than this right here until body change time. This is our boat. This is our ship to heaven. And we might as well not look for something greater, because there can't be any greater than this right here. This is sufficient. And it's, and so I said all that to say that, when he says, love not the world or the things of the world, if you do, it's because the love of God is not in you. I'll say it this way, it's because this message is not in you, because God is going to express himself to us today in this. It doesn't do him any good to express to us in this day, Paul or Moses or somebody. It's got to be the message for this day. And so because it's a message of this day, this is the only way that the true Holy Ghost is going to express himself in this day. Is through this message, making it come alive, vindicating it, And he made it very clear whenever these ministers all over couldn't get nothing done, but Brother Branham could walk in and it just like that, miracles and those things would take place. Because he wanted us to take notice to that. That there's been one ministry in this day that commands that kind of attention from us. And that's the thing. That's why Brother Branham said, you can't mix all these other things, but you've got to come right to this message of the hour because this is it. This is where it's at. So to walk in this world, not being friends with the world, the only way that you can drive that out of your heart is that you have the love of God in your heart, which is this message manifested. That's the only thing that's going to purify us from the things that this world is trying to put on us and get the things of the world out of us. That's the only thing that can do it, is this right here, this message. And so God made that very clear. It's just strange to me that those men out there that know they can't, they don't have that discernment. They know they don't have that kind of gift with God. Why doesn't it shake them? Why doesn't it? It does me. It caught my attention. What catches my attention more than anything is that word that came out, the revealing of the things that I had a hunger for. But to know, and so like Brother Ram said, that one guy over there, a Muslim challenged him, you know, and he's, he didn't know what to do. Why didn't that guy say, wait right here, I'll be back in just a little bit, and go get Brother Branham? Yeah. Why didn't he? See? There is a fountain, there is a source where this thing works. And that's exactly the thing that can drive the love of the world and the things world out of us, is this word, embracing this word coming and baptizing us in the Holy Spirit of this word. Amen. Because he's not going to come to you and anoint you to be something different than this revealed word of the hour. If somebody's got something else than that, it's not the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Okay? So that's why Brother Brim said, you've got to come to the message of the hour. That message has to become what's in us. And I don't think God would be providing it if it wasn't necessary. He wouldn't be calling us to it if he hadn't provided it. And he's providing it and calling us to it because it is necessary. This is our way out. There's nothing else coming. And, you know, I know it's a paradox. It's a paradox in so many things of God's word, because the denominations, you know, Luther said, this is it, nothing else. And here I'm telling you, this is it and there's nothing else. I'm not telling you that God can't do any more, but I'm telling you, this is our message. This is our way out. And this is the thing that he's doing. And we have to embrace it. So God's doing plenty of things. And he's actually revealing and expressing himself in the bride in a way that a lot of people just want to hang to the messenger and just say, there's a message, and not realizing that that's now in Elisha, the bride. And so God's doing the things that he says. So he's doing all kinds of things. But what is this that he's doing? It's the manifestation of this message, this word that has been brought to us by Benny Hinn prophet. So, you know, when we see here where it says, you know, don't love the things of the world, because if you do, it's the love of God's not in you. You realize, and I said, it will drive those things out. We have to feed on the right things. We have to feed on the right thing, because if you don't feed on the message for this hour, you will not be able to deal with the task at hand for this hour.
Right?
Right? You won't be able to. So you won't be able to drive these things out of your life unless that's what comes in. So you have to feed on this. You have to feed on the thing that will funnel right into you and I, the Word of God. This message, bringing it in, so that's what becomes our life. If we don't have that, we can't truly sling off all the things that the world wants to give us. We'll fall after the things that they do. We'll be influenced by the things they do. And you know, you understand what I'm saying. And so we have to feed on the right thing. You got to have sufficient strength for the battle that you're in, or whatever it is you're trying to do. And so, you know, God is still a holy God.
Yes.
God is still holy, and Go back and listen to Brother Biscoe's testimony and some of the things about what used to be, what was there at the churches, and some of the things that's happened. And God is still holy, and I believe those angels still fly there with their, some covering their face, and some of them covering their feet, and some of them flying and saying, "Holy, holy, holy." If the angels of God ever did that, they're probably still doing it. Yeah. Right? And I was saying to somebody the other day, I said, if it was wrong in our great grandmother's day, it's wrong today. But if it was right then, it's right today. See, God don't change. He's the living Word, but He doesn't change, but we change. Man changes. Satan perverts this world and man's thinking, and that changes. But God is still holy, and He still tells us, "You be holy, for I'm holy." He's still telling us that. So there's still this call for the Holy Ghost to come into our lives and drive out the things of the world. That's still there. I don't care how far we go, that's still there. And ultimately, it becomes rapture morning, so that it's totally, completely, we're totally obedient to the message, to the Bible. When I say message, I mean Bible. Bible in revealed form and today. We're totally obedient to that. Well, then, you know, our body change will come. And so I say all this because, you know, I look around in the message, and when I'm, you know, you refer to message as the message that God has given us, but sometimes we refer to all the people out there and all the churches out there that believe this. We call that the message. So you just have to understand which one I'm talking here about here when I say this. So I'll try to clarify, but I think you'll know. So it is come to the place where in the message there are things that have become a custom or acceptable. Yeah. Things that are acceptable ways, acceptable things in the message. Yeah. And so when I look at those things and I look at this scripture here, I begin to look at this and wonder, is there something wrong?
Right.
Because just because it's accepted among all the people doesn't mean it's right.
Amen.
It has to be by this word.
Right.
It has to be what this word has said. And so, as again, the Holy Spirit will not endorse something that's contrary. And what I'm trying to get at is, have we done in the message the same thing denominations did? Brother Man was saying, and I said a while ago, he was speaking to people who believed they had a position in God's kingdom, but he knew they were missing something because they had in their lives things that was contrary to the Holy Ghost. And he knew that if the true Holy Ghost was there, it would drive these things out.
Man.
That if it was really there, it would not cause them to believe false teachings.
Right?
They had that all through ages. But now we've come to a time where God has given to us the Word and the Spirit enough to bring us out of all false teachings and into the right kind of life and the right kind of belief system that we would be Jesus Christ manifested in bright form. He's given that to us. But have we done what they've done? Where they were standing, or are we standing in a spot right now where we say, we're in the message, we're heaven bound, and yet there are things resident in the message that you see and you and I both know is contrary to the Bible, contrary to the Word, contrary to what a prophet said, and you see that after, you have to ask yourself what's going on. Because the Holy Ghost will not endorse things that's wrong. I realize people have to come to understanding, to revelation and things. But I think I've said it before, you know, when you talk to even ministers or in the message and say, "Oh, you know, so-and-so got the Holy Ghost last night because they spoke in tongues."
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so when Brother Branham spoke about this so often, if you love the world or the things of the world, it's because the love of God is not in you. And so if we can look out here and we can see among message people, there's things there that you know this prophet, that you look at and you say, he was telling us don't have this going on, and yet it's there, then you know there's a rabbit in the woodpile somewhere. Something's amiss. And so if that's what's happened, then we're in trouble. I say we. If that's what's going on in the message, then there's people in trouble because they're in that same position where a prophet is crying out to them, don't do this, you can't do this. If the Holy Ghost is truly in there, he can't let you do that. Right? That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
He said over and over and over. And we should all, this message is to us, so it's for us, so we want to let it have place with us and cause us to dig down and search our hearts and ask ourselves, where do we stand? And is there some portion of God's word that we're not coping with? Is there something that God has revealed to us that we're just not willing to accept because of something else? And so you can get into a rut where you're just going right along, and yet in your side you know there's something that you need to tally up with that hasn't, you're not tallying up with. So when he said love not the world or the things that are in the world, I don't think he means don't love this planet. I don't think he means don't love a beautiful sunset or sunrise or the ocean waves or the mountains in Colorado. I don't think he's telling you don't love, you know, going out and fishing or something like that. Unless, of course, that you become somebody who worships nature and you worship the trees and the sun and the moon and all that. But I don't think he's talking about it. He's not talking about it. He's not talking about it. When he says don't love this world, he's not talking about the world, but he's talking about the cosmos, is a word Brother Branham used, the cosmos of man in this world. So you have this planet, you have, you know, the wind and the rain and the snow and the dirt. You know, we have that. That's the world, right, that we live in, the earth, the planet. But there's a world. There's an atmosphere. There's in the spirit realm, an atmosphere that we breathe in and out, or so to speak. So there's a cosmos, a way of man, how man has developed and how man has done everything throughout the ages, and what's funny to him and what he thinks is great and his daily activities and the way he does business and how he raises his family. There's a world cosmos there that's wrong. Because everything man goes after, if he's not got the Holy Ghost, is contrary to God. Because this is telling you that if you're friends with the world, you're an enemy to God. You can't be both. We just read that. You can't be both. So we hear this message in this end time, we have to realize that if this message is really resonant in our heart, there are some shoving away of this world that has to be happening if we've got the real thing. And we need to do what the prophet did to denominations. He was shaking them, trying to get them to stop and examine themselves to say, wait a minute, he's right. How could I have this resonant in my life and it'd be okay with me if it's contrary to the word of God? That can't be Holy Ghost.
Right.
That cannot be Holy Ghost that's leading me to do something contrary. Right. See what I'm saying? So we have the same commission. We have the same situation. Even here, and I believe we're bright, and I believe we're a lot further down. But listen, we've got one shot at this, and to hit that rapture morning and have these things bright. And I'm not trying to tell you that we're doing it, but you realize just to let the Holy Spirit dig and plow in our lives until we get to the place where God has chopped out by his word all of these things that are contrary, and that we're ready to sit with him on that throne. So he says, love not the world. It's not the world, but the planet, but it's the things that man has done. And everything, when he says the things that are in the world, the things that are in the cosmos of man, the things that man chases after, the things that the fads and the things that just the whole world goes after. Think of it now. Just break it down. The Holy Ghost will not chase after and feed after those things of the cosmos of man. He doesn't need it. It's temporal. It's passing away.
Right.
But he that doth the will of God, that has the love of God, abideth forever. The Holy Spirit's not going to feed on temporal things. He feeds on eternal things. His own word.
Yeah.
Right? That won't pass away. So think about that. When you look out there and you see all the fads and all the things everybody's going crazy about, and you have to look at that and say, listen, I know the scriptures tell me that few there be that find it. Narrow is that pathway that leads to righteousness, right?
Yeah.
Broad is the gate. So when you look out there and you see the whole world going after things and living a certain way and believing a certain thing and listening to a certain thing and listening to music that they call gospel when you know it's not, and that you know, when all that's out there like that, you know that when the masses are going that direction, that can't be Holy Ghost. Right? But there is a Holy Ghost, and He's still holy. God is still holy. And this message still makes true sons and daughters of God. And so, when I look at that and say, no, and I realize there's nothing wrong with the message. But there's all kinds of things wrong in the message. I listen to young people. You know, I know that, you know me, I raised up in the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, graduated in the early 80s. And you can imagine what kind of music I was subjected to, the clothing and the spirit of cosmos of the day that I was. That's what I was raised in. And God had to save me from that. And God has to purge all that and has purged that stuff out of me and is still working to get those influences out. Even to this day, there can be a song that's an ungodly song and somebody can say a phrase and it'll put that song on my head and I have to fight it. Not that I want to embrace it, but it's that evil spirit trying to push, because it's a spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
But I was raised in that kind of thing, and so it's, to me, it's natural. I know what that is because I've been there.
Yeah.
And I know that when the Holy Spirit began to deal with me, He drove that stuff out of me. And I know that to be influenced by that or to try and even entertain that just a little bit, I know that what's in me now is grieved by that. The thing I once embraced, I now, something in me grieves at that now. That's why I said, when you say, oh, it's gospel, but the spirit that I feel when I listen to that's the same thing I listened to when I was running around with my hair on down to my shoulders and doing things I shouldn't. So I don't care what they say, and I don't care what the lyrics are. There's a spiritual warfare, and Satan's whole idea is to become come in stealth like Christianity, that he might deceive people. And so, you know, I know those things there, and I know about those music artists and songs that I grew up, because that's what it was. I remember those, and I have nothing to do with them now. But I look at message young people who were raised in message churches and message homes, and they know as much about that as I do, because I was raised in it. Where do they get it? What's the matter with homes? What's the matter with churches that let stuff like that in? You see what I'm saying? Because if we have those things and love those things and that's what we're drawn to, it's because the love of God is not in us. That's why Brother Branham kept saying that over and over and over and over to let us know that. And we have to check ourselves. Because here's the thing. If it's wrong, the Word's going to say so. If it's wrong, if it's the real Holy Ghost in you, He's going to say so. And it's going to agree with what you hear coming across the pulpit. But then it's going to be up to you to line up with it. It's going to be up to you to say, Lord, I'm taking your the sword of your spirit, and I'm going to chop this stuff out of my life. That's what you've got to do. When we know that there are things in our life that is not what is pleasing to God, we have to make a choice that we want Him more than that. And we have to take that word, and he, you'll feel like, hey, I can't do this. Well, so did all the battles that Israel ever went to. It's like, we can't do this. Well, He's just saying, you go out there, you put the armor on, you go out there and start swinging it, and I will give you the victories. That's what He's saying. And so you might feel like, well, I can't do this. It's the whole world and everything, it's just, pressure up on me and the influence and co-workers and all that. You take that word and you start walking out there and swinging it and watch God give you the victory over these giants.
Amen.
But you've got to do that. You have to examine yourself and say, wait a minute, Brother Tony, Brother Daniel's right, Brother Branham's right. That this thing that I have, I hear it, I know it comes across the pulpit, it's wrong, I hear it from the message, it's wrong, I read it in the Bible, and I know that I'm partaking of things that is part of the cosmos of man, and I know that that should not be in me as a Christian. Then you take the Word of God and you start chopping that. Chopping and hacking away at devils, and He'll get you free from those things. Listen, I can tell you the things that He has set me free of. Things that I wouldn't want to tell you about and be ashamed of it. But He set me free. Did it happen instantly? No. But by walking with the Lord, He will chop. If you will take that word, He'll give you victories. If you chop those things with His word, and I use that phrase because that's what Brother Bram said. He would hew and hack and chop His way to make His word come to pass with His word. And so, if we love the world, the man's system, and we love what man loves, and we're going after the fads of this world, there's something wrong. And so, have we in message churches, have believers, have we accepted things that maybe we shouldn't have accepted? I say that as a question because I can't tell you in your own life, I can just preach the word and let the word discern. But I say that because I want you to dig down in your own life. And I want you to examine yourself like this. And I want you to ask yourself, the things that I do with my pastime or the things that I allow myself to think and partake of daily, is that leading me closer to the Lord? And if it's not, start chopping and hacking and cutting. Will you have to stand alone and your friends reject you and have to be an enemy to the world? You betcha.
Right.
You betcha. You will have to be an enemy because I just read to you. If you are friends with this world, then you're an enemy to God. And I don't want to be an enemy to God. So I must not be friends with this world. I must not embrace the things of this world. I must not be laugh at their jokes and have a little drink, as Brother Bram said, when your boss offers you a drink and you'll take it because you're afraid you'll lose your job. I don't laugh at their jokes when they tell their jokes in meeting rooms. I don't. I work with a guy who's a Mormon, and he's got enough backbone that sometime when my boss will say something, or something come out, he'll go, beep! That's what he'll do. He'll beep him. My boss is bald. He works for me. I mean, but we need backbone. Right? We need backbone to stand up for what's right. And as long as you can tie it back to this word, stand up and fight with that word. Right? Be that soldier that we should be to win these battles for the Lord. And so when I see those things, it makes you wonder, how do these young people know these things? How do they know so much about these filthy movie stars and filthy singers out there and all this filthy nonsense? How do they know that sitting in message churches and in message homes? It's because there's something in there that's not of God. Because the Holy Spirit needs greater effect in the lives of people to drive those things out. And it falls back. It's not that it's not being preached, because it is being preached, right?
Right.
Holiness is still being laid out there, and that God will deliver and set free and do all these things. It's still there, but it's a lacking, a lulling down of Laodicea for people to just be in lethargy or whatever and not kind of realize this. You're laying there and you're awake and you're like, yeah, I know I should be getting up, but I'm kind of lazy and I know time's getting away from me. How many's ever done that? And then had to drive really fast to get to work on time? Laying around. Yeah, I know that I shouldn't have this in my life. I'm just kind of tired. It's just, I just don't want it. See what I'm saying? And that's why those things are there. There's a tightening up that needs to take place in the homes and in the churches. When you have young people and maybe goes to a certain church and they don't understand why other churches believe something. Oh, it's so strict. Why? Why does it have to be that way? And you're like, what are you being taught? And I'm not speaking against other churches. I'm just saying, hey, there's a unity of the word and there's a unity of holiness.
Right.
There's a unity of what's right And there's a unity of what will deliver in this day and set free. But people have to embrace it, and you've got to quit being scared of the battle. I know I see it all the time. People, I won't go there because I don't want to fight that battle. I see it at work all the time. In our department at work, we've got the highest score in all of ABB for safety. And because when the auditors come and they, you know, we do all this stuff, and when they come, they find that we've done what they've asked. But you know what they do? Because you know how the natures of auditors are. You know, they got to find something. Right? So next thing you know, they're going into nitpicking us or whatever and trying to find things that's way beyond, you know, has nothing to do with whatever they're there for. I just got through with an audit today. I had to deal with some of that. It's like, what are you doing auditing us about that? You're here for this. You're here for quality. Why are you asking us about safety when we got the highest safety score in the whole company? And I'm talking worldwide. That's what they told us when they came. And so, but you know what they do? They start to nitpick and so forth and try to make you do things even more and more. And so what they find out is if you got somebody who will comply, that's where they start putting all their effort, because then they can go by and say, look what we had them do. Right? You know, Satan's the kind of same way, but you got to come to this place where you say, you know what? I'm not complying with you anymore. Because if he can find you giving in, he'll just keep putting it on you, keep putting it on you. But you got to stand up and fight. You got to make up a choice. You know what? I'm not doing this anymore, devil. You're not going to do this. And we have to come to the place where we have enough spiritual smarts by the Holy Ghost to say, you know what? If I'm doing these things, it's not creating more of Christ in my life. And if that's what it is, then you've got to take the sword of the word and begin to chop that. You've got to make a choice, and it will be tough. You will have to fight, but that's what we have to do. Because that Holy Ghost, remember Brother Ram said, he comes in, it's about the size of a button.
Yep.
Right there. But I don't want it to be that way come rapture morning. I don't want it to be that way tomorrow morning. I want it to be so big that all you see is a button walking around the room. You know, just the Holy Ghost. But, right? That's what we want. So, you know, it's all back to the scripture. Brother Daniel had made it in. I told him, I sat down last night to begin to ask the Lord where he want me to go. And I was opening my Bible, and as I opened it, a thought came to my mind, a scripture came to my mind. And when I dropped my eyes, it fell on the exact scripture, and it was this right here. Love not the world, but the things of the world. Because if you do, the love of the Father is not in you. That's the way Brother Branham tells us. So are we accepting man's cosmos, too much of it? Do we allow too much of it in our lives? Like I said, how do people know these things that you know, they shouldn't? I mean, I can understand older people, but you know, and there's things today, I don't know. I don't, they say, you know, so I don't know. I don't know who they are. You know why? Because I don't feed on that. I don't feed on that. But if that's anything that I could really lay home tonight, is I want you to look at what your diet consists of. Because you can eat extremely healthy 6 days a week and eat bad food the seventh day. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to get the effects of the bad no matter how much good you eat. And so that's the thing that you need to look at, because we need to be eating on the right things. And so if we're too eager to travel and follow after the fads of the world, should we? We need to question ourselves about those things. Because none of these things of cosmos is going to be there. None of those are going to be in the millennium, or especially after the millennium, after the holy fire of God will burn not just this earth, but even in the spirit realm, burn everything off, right? But in that realm, These things are not going to be there. God doesn't need perversion. He doesn't need temporal things. He doesn't need the cosmos of man. And everything that man thinks is funny, and everything that man thinks is right, and all the things that man wants to do, God doesn't need that. And the scripture said, all that's of the world is not of the Father, and it perishes. He doesn't need those things, so they won't be there. If that's our entertainment, there's something wrong. Right. If that's our entertainment, if there's not something in us that says, hey, there's something wrong here, then there's something wrong. Because those things will not be there. Brother Ram said, do you think there will be automobiles in the millennium? No. God don't need automobiles. God doesn't need Facebook. He doesn't need television. He doesn't need Hollywood. He does not need Hollywood to preach the gospel to us. I know. But you know what? We do allow ourselves to be entertained. And we need to ask ourselves what we're being entertained with. Because I heard a prophet say that Jesus Christ was his entertainment. And I realize we don't all have the ministry he had. I know, I realize that. But our responsibility as wife to Jesus Christ is to this word in prayer and our meditation and our minds to be on him. The scripture said there's things that people do in secret that it's even a shame to even talk about it, even think about it, even if you ask me, but you know, don't even speak of the things that they do in private. And yet, it's all out on, you know, it's all right out here. And for us to go and look at that, I don't think so. For us to listen to that, I don't think so. See? And I don't, you know, maybe a shotgun approach or whatever to what, because I don't know your life necessarily, but to tell you that, you know, it's a time to check up. Does your activities draw you closer to God, or is it taking you further away? Because remember, I said a while ago, God would not be providing and calling us to this if it wasn't necessary. And it is. Has the goalpost been moved in the message? Have we deceived ourselves in saying, well, it's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. It's okay for men to wear shorts. Is it? Is it? When a prophet said, hey, he's wearing her underneath garments and she's wearing his outer garments. Isn't that what he said?
Right.
What was he talking about? Why is that? Why does that crop up? When women aren't to cut their hair, but why does it crop up? Why do these things happen? Because there's something where people aren't surrendering their lives to the Word. My encouragement to you tonight is to examine yourself and say, you know what, if those things are in my life, I want to come before the Lord sincerely. And, you know, if you want to come pray at the altar and we have ministry of prayer with you, that's fine. But it comes to the Word, a choice that you make by free moral agency to express the Word that God wants to live through you by His Holy Ghost, to express that even though it takes you to Calvary. It takes you to a cross to be rejected. Because if we don't do that, then we're not worthy of Him. Because that's the way He did it. He was the living Word, fulfilling the word of His hour, and it cost Him for our benefit. And you are the living Word of God for this hour, and it will cost you to live that Word, but it'll be for someone's benefit. And it's our choice. What we do. We've got to, you know, there's a thing about fasting. And I'm not trying to encourage people to fast. I'm just saying that, you know, the concept of fasting is to put this right here, this flesh down, and make it weak. Because when it's weaker in your spirit realm, you can be stronger.
Right.
So there's buffeting the flesh and saying, there's a reason why I've often thought this. And I've never smelt flesh burning, but I've been told that flesh burning has a sweet smell. It's a sweet smell to God. Sacrifices when they were burning. A sweet smelling savor. Our prayers to God is a sweet smelling savor. Our prayers comes up before Him But it's a sacrifice to pray. You have to fight the devil to pray. But it's a sweet smell to God. It's something pleasing. It's not a stench in his nostrils, as the scriptures talk about. But it's something that's pleasant to him. Our prayers are pleasant to him. And before you could go behind the veil, you had to pass that altar of incense where the smoke and the smell, and they put stuff on there that has a certain smell. So, you understand what I'm getting at there. We have to have that place in our life where we're willing to suffer for his namesake. And it's a choice we have to make. We have to choose. And we have to choose not to take our sword out and cut the sword off of somebody, let's cut the ears off of somebody with a sword when our rough time comes, when we're under persecution, like you know, see Peter did with Jesus or whatever. Our time comes, right? So we know that God, we know that he has a day for us where we're going to shout the victory. But as I said the other day, we still have to be Christians. So God wouldn't be calling us to it if it wasn't necessarily. I hope we haven't moved the goalpost. Remember the vision where Brother Ram said, get back in line. Get back in line. That means something. It wasn't the beginning of the line. It was the end. That means something. Take it to heart and ask yourself, what does that mean to me? Am I the one that's out of line? Am I the one that's gotten out of step with onward Christian soldiers marching as to war? It's not a bed of ease. It's not. But it's God's way. And we have to not be friends with this world. We have to constantly eject. Your body has to constantly push out impurities and things that are wrong to live. So if that's you, get back in line. Amen. We don't want to be the frog that's in the pot of water. To let slowly over time, because Satan uses that, slowly over time, we wind up being in the same situation that all the denominations were.
Right.
Not really hearing what the prophet was saying and considering him old-fashioned. You don't want to do that. So I said all this to say, who is greatest? Well, we're going to read it. First John chapter 4, verse 4. Who is the greatest? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's your promise. Right? But you got to believe it and go with it. He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. I would say let the musicians come. However, that sister's playing the piano pretty good. She's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Amen. I went to hear the word and with the sign.
He speaks to me.
Lord, as you've heard the words that I've spoken tonight, I believe they come from you. And Lord, I'm just asking that you just seal it away into every heart, every person that hears this, Lord, that it means something to them, that God, it would make a difference in their life, and it give them the courage and the strength, Lord, to stand up and begin to swing the sword of your Spirit to move these things out of their life. Lord, you realize the heart of your people, and you know, God, how that I feel about these people. Lord, I want to see every one of them there. I don't want to see anyone missing. And I realize, Lord, that this word has to take full preeminence in their life. That's the very purpose that you came to, that you could get preeminence in a bride. And so, God, I'm just asking that you would take these words that have been given to them tonight, that you would seal it away to their hearts. God, that it would take them that much further down the road, Lord, to perfect faith, perfect love, that they could walk in a life without fear, a life of confidence before you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Yes. I feel the cool. I hear the cool.